Amen. In today's generation, the message of the gospel of Christ, we could say, is sadly diluted and sidelined. There are people that say that the gospel causes offence. They claim that it is not kind, it is not very nice to call another human being a sinner before Almighty God. The emphasis in many churches today is placed upon things other than the preaching of the Word of God. There may be singing, there may be testimonies, there may be other forms of evangelism involved, may even have reached the entertainment style that we mentioned this morning. And the focus goes away from the preaching of the Word of God. Some things are good complements to the gospel message, but nothing can be a substitute for it. The Church of Christ, in many places, has departed from faithfully proclaiming the true message of the gospel, the true Christ-centered message that the Word of God proclaims. And our reading this evening has focused our attention upon an event that took place in the New Testament church, an event that concerns the evangelization of a soul, his subsequent conversion to the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in this passage, a man from Ethiopia was returning to his homeland from Jerusalem, and travelling through a desert, he was found reading the words of Isaiah chapter 53, passage that speaks of the sufferings of Christ. As the Lord Jesus Christ suffered on the cross of Calvary, he died for the sins of his people. And that passage of Scripture points to what the Saviour suffered for us upon the cross. The Holy Spirit, in divine providence, guides and directs Philip into the desert. And there Philip finds this man. He was obedient to the call of the Spirit. And as we read this account, we have noticed together that he was also faithful to the message of salvation. He was faithful to the Word of God. He was faithful to the gospel message. The message that he preached to this man of Ethiopia was the same message that the entire New Testament church proclaimed. The message was proclaimed as well in the Old Testament, and it had its fulfillment in the New Testament scriptures and in the New Testament time through the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to read again the words of our text in verse 35. It says, "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture," that's Isaiah 53, "and preached unto him Jesus." Philip preached Christ. He preached the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who was spoken of in that passage of Isaiah 53. And this evening, we are going to get back to the fundamental gospel message. And very simply, in the gospel, we are going to consider the message of Philip. The message of Philip. I want you to notice firstly here the content of the message. The content of the message that Philip brought this Ethiopian. He had a message to give him. That was the very purpose that the Lord took him away from revival blessing into an uninhabited desert. Philip was obedient to the call of God. There is a great lesson for us in this. Philip saw the great blessing of the Lord in the city of Samaria. And in verse 26 we read that the angel of the Lord spoke to him and told him to go to a certain place, which is desert. There's very little life in the desert. There's not very many people who would like to live in a desert. But in the city of Samaria there were souls. There was revival. There was blessing. God was working. The Holy Spirit said, "Philip, I have another task for you to do. You're to go to the desert." Philip was obedient. The Lord may be telling us to do something that is perhaps It doesn't make sense to us. We may think, well, why? We're getting on fine the way we are. The Lord could be saying, go, do this instead. And there is a great lesson here because Philip was the man God chose to speak to this Ethiopian. God had a purpose behind it. And God always has a purpose. In whatever way He directs us to go, God has a purpose. We should never forget that. His ways are perfect. We may say, looking at this passage, it was better for Philip to remain in Samaria. That's where the blessing was. That's where the people were to preach to. But God's ways are not our ways. Philip had finished his work there, and he was told to move on. We can learn from this. We can learn from the obedient attitude that Philip had. But as Philip went to the desert, he found this man. And he had a message, the very message that this Ethiopian needed to hear. The reason why there is preaching is because there is a message that men and women need to hear. There is a message from God to the sinner. And tonight there is a message from God that He has decreed you to hear this night. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and the verse 18, we see the importance of preaching. The Apostle Paul says in this verse, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And in the verse 21 of that passage, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The world laughs at preaching. The world can scoff at preaching. There are those who take time to stand on the streets of our nation and to preach the word of God faithfully, week in and week out. And yet they are scoffed at, yet they are mocked. There are those over in the mainland that I have seen, people who were not Free Presbyterians, but from other churches, and they have stood in the street, and they have preached the word of God. And observing them, there were others around mocking and laughing at them and at the message they had to proclaim. The world will laugh at preaching. The world does not see that preaching is vital, that it is important. But God has ordained it, for it is by the foolishness of preaching. Sinner, tonight you can hear the message that God has given for your soul this night. A message that says you need to turn from sin. You need to look to Christ, for He alone is the way, the truth, and the life. And you are here tonight, present in our midst, for the simple reason that God has a message for you. God has decreed your ways here tonight. God has brought you here. God has a message for you to hear. It's a message you must listen to, that you must hearken to, because it's a message that demands a decision. Tonight, what will you do with Christ? When the minister, the preacher, proclaims the word of God, it is vitally important. It is an absolute necessity that we listen. So many things can distract our minds. There are many, many things that can distract when somebody is preaching. The temperature, perhaps a noise outside. Sometimes even the preacher's appearance can distract the congregation from listening. But it is vitally important that you listen to what God has to say. And here in our passage, Philip had a message for this Ethiopian. And it was vital that he listened to this message. For God had sent this preacher into his path. God had told Philip to go and to meet this man. And to tell him the wonderful message of the gospel. Tonight you're here and God has brought you into the path of this church, into the path of this preacher, to hear the message that God has for your soul this night. And it is important that you listen. God uses preaching. Enoch preached. Noah preached righteousness. We can read about that in 2 Peter chapter 2. Nehemiah 8 verse 8. It says, so they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense, explained it, and caused them to understand the reading. That is what the preacher does. He takes the text that God has laid upon his heart. He gives the sense of it. He explains it. And he warns men and women that they must turn to the Saviour. Timothy, the young preacher, was told by the Apostle Paul to preach the word. To preach the word. The Lord puts words in the mouths of his hearers. And it is very clear that God wants his servants to preach the word so that people will understand the need of their soul. Nowhere in Scripture is it told that the servants of God were to entertain the people, or that they were to tell jokes that took away from the word, or to engage in activities that took away from the word of God. Timothy was told to preach the word, not to be a comedian, not to entertain the people, but to preach the word. Preach the word. What exactly is this message that we are to present, that Philip presented to this Ethiopian eunuch? Well, his message is contained in the Scriptures. And our message tonight is contained in the Scriptures of truth. The Bible is the word of God. The message of God is contained therein. When we consider the Ethiopian eunuch, he had obtained a copy of the Old Testament Scriptures. He had been in Jerusalem, and he had that copy of what we know today as Isaiah chapter 53. And he read this passage of Scripture concerns the promised Messiah who would come and suffer for sin. And Philip opened his mouth and began at that same Scripture and preached unto him Jesus. God's word contains the message of salvation. Contains that message concerning Christ and his person and his work. This is what the word of God teaches. This is what the word of God is about, we could say. It declares tonight that you are a sinner. It declares tonight that there is nothing in your life that can save your soul. The word of God is clear. And there are many familiar passages of Scripture and verses that we can bring to your attention. Psalm 51 verse 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. In Numbers 32:23, but if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure, your sin will find you out. In Job 36, verses 18 to 19, we read, because there is wrath, beware. Lest he take thee away with his stroke. Let a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Will he esteem thy riches? No, not gold, nor all the forces of strength. What the word of God is teaching in these verses is that tonight we are sinners. We have sinned before God. We have broken his law. That is what is contained in the Scriptures. Our sin will one day find us out. Because one day we will stand at the judgment seat of God. And we will have to give an account for everything that we have done. How solemn that will be. Says in that verse in Job, then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. When you cross the threshold of death, when you go into eternity, nothing can deliver you. If you die outside of Christ, if you die in sin, nothing can deliver you. There is no great ransom that can save your soul. Whether that is in money, whether that is in goods or possessions, or perhaps something you've done with your life, it is to no avail. It cannot save. That is what the Scriptures teach. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And the word of God proclaimed that this Ethiopian was a sinner. And God's word tonight proclaims that we are sinners before him. But this message that Philip preached is centered on the Savior. He preached a message that was centered upon Christ. We read in the verse 32 and 33 of what the passage of Scripture read, the Isaiah 53 that this man was reading. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. That was the passage that he read. Christ went as that sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. Christ was the message. Christ fulfilled that as he went to the cross at Calvary. Christ is the very message of Scripture. For in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 23 it says, "But we preach Christ crucified." That is the content of the message that we proclaim. It concerns the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke 24 and the verses 25 and 27 and 44 to 45 we won't turn to them. But they simply teach that the Lord Jesus Christ is the message of Scripture. The message of the entire Word of God. The law of God. The prophets. The Psalms. Those divisions that the Hebrew Scriptures had speak of Christ. The Old Testament Scriptures proclaim Christ. The New Testament Scriptures proclaim Christ. He is the message of the Word of God. He came into the world to save sinners. And this is the message that he proclaimed. The Jews looked to a Messiah that would come, the one who was promised in Genesis 3 and the verse 15, a Messiah that would come in pomp and glory and splendor. But here in Isaiah 53 says that this Messiah would be led like a sheep to the slaughter. They did not understand this. This man, this Ethiopian, did not understand. He says, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man?" And Philip explained that Christ fulfilled this. Christ was the one who was sent as a sheep to the slaughter. He was a man of sorrows. He was one who was humble and humiliated. If we turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And the verse 7. It says concerning Christ. "But made himself of no reputation. And took upon him the form of a servant. And was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross." And Christ was humiliated. He came from that high exalted standing in glory. He became man, the God-man for us. He took upon his divine nature, a human nature, united with the divine. He became the God-man, the one who would be the mediator. He was both God and man. But he humbled himself and he went to the cross at Calvary. And there he died for sinners. What a wonderful message that is. For the Christ who went to the cross. The God-man is the only one who can save sinners. The only one who can come between us and between God. And tonight, if you're here in your sin, Christ is the only one who can come between you and God. There's nothing that you can do to bring yourself nigh or near God. You may, as it were, give me a biography tonight of all the great things you have done in your life. You could go as far as showing me the evidence and the proof that you're somebody of substance and of wealth. But in the eyes of God, it's nothing. Christ is the only one. And he humbled himself and he went to the cross. What a Saviour we have. When he suffered and died for the sins of his people. The Saviour had a great passion for sinners. The love of God was displayed at the cross. We were guilty, hell-deserving sinners. But Christ was sent to die for us. Oh, the love of God, how marvelous it is, how vast, how undeserving to us. It was a great passion. Christ showed a great patience as well. When he went to Calvary, there was nothing impatient about him. His whole life was a life that was patient. He never spoke out of turn. He never tried to defend himself. It says here in Isaiah 53, that's quoted for us in Acts chapter 8, that he opened not his mouth. You may say, well, Christ did open his mouth. Christ did speak at the cross. When he was before Pilate, he did speak. But when Christ spoke, he never said anything that would take away from his purpose of going to the cross at Calvary. He never said anything that would, as it were, hinder his work, hinder the great work of redemption. We turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, and in the verse 18 we see the greatness of Christ here. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with, this is what we are redeemed by, the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Christ died as a lamb that was pure and without spot. He paid a great price. He gave up his life to save sinners. That is the message that we present. That is the wonderful message of salvation. Christ died. He had a great passion. He had a great patience. For when he was reviled, he reviled not again. He paid a great price. And that message of salvation, the gospel of Christ, is contained in the scriptures. That was the message that the man here received. Philip preached this message to the eunuch. A message of life. The church of Christ was built for the preaching of the gospel. Christ said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And Christ builds his church through the preaching of this very message, that he is the Saviour, that he is the only Saviour. And tonight, if you are not trusting in Christ, you do not have a Saviour. There is no one who can take the place of Christ in your life. Not yourself, not a friend, not a family member. No one you know can take the place of the Saviour. For if Christ is not in your life, this message is not believed, then you are without God. You are without hope. I also want you to notice this evening, secondly, that there was a confidence in the message. There was a confidence in the message. I want you to consider the flow of words here, especially in the verse 34 to 35. It says in verse 34, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Christ. Philip didn't hesitate. He didn't say, well, hang on a second. I have been running toward you. I need to stop. I need to take a breath. Let's chat. Who are you? Where are you from? Then we'll talk about the gospel. Philip went straight in. He opened his mouth and he presented Christ. He had a confidence in the message. He went straight to the crux of the matter, the gospel of Christ. He was willing to chat about the gospel. He was willing to show this man that Christ was the answer. He knew the message. He knew what this man needed. He knew that the Christ he preached could save this man. What a confidence that was. He had saw the results previously of how Christ had saved. He had his own personal experience. He saw the great work that was done in Samaria. He had confidence that the message of the gospel could save. And tonight, those of you who know Christ, know that the gospel can save. That the gospel has saved you. That the gospel has saved me. And that the gospel can save those who are outside of Christ. And sinner, tonight the message contained in the gospel can save. There is a great confidence concerning it. The confidence that Christ alone can save. There are those who have made professions of faith in days gone by. And they have professed that Christ has saved them. And sadly, they have not went on with the Lord. They have said that when they came to Christ, when they professed faith, nothing really happened. They didn't feel any different. They realized that I'm not saved at all. And they've come to the conclusion that there is nothing in the gospel message. They come to the conclusion that Christ and his gospel is perhaps not as powerful as it's made out to be. I think of some people in particular that I've come across and have heard about. In later years, they've trusted in Christ. But they've made a profession and they realized that there was nothing there. It was either a false profession. There are those that can make false professions. Or perhaps there was not that true repentance. To experience the power of the gospel of Christ, there must be that realization of sin. There must be a true repentance. You must realize the great depths of your iniquity. You must turn from that sin. You must embrace Christ. He will give you that remission, that forgiveness of sin. There must be a true and a real repentance. Because Christ saves, but there must be repentance. Repent, ye, and believe the gospel. Philip had confidence. He went straight into his message. There are times whenever we are witnessing, whenever we are evangelizing, and it's maybe not the best idea to go straight into the gospel message. There may not be an opportunity to go straight into the gospel message. Sometimes on outreach, whenever you knock somebody's door and you say where you're from, the conversation may not always allow you to go straight in with the gospel like Philip did in this passage. We need to be wise. We need to be discerning. And there are times when talking to people and getting to know a person and being friendly is a very vital form of outreach. But when it comes round to the gospel and there will be opportunities, then you can apply the truths of the gospel. Depends very much on the situation, but the situation here meant that Philip could go straight in with the gospel. This man was already thinking on spiritual things. This man was already reading the Word of God. And that was the best way for Philip. If we go to talk to somebody and we say to them, or we talk maybe about different things, we should always aim at bringing it round to the gospel. But if we don't go straight in and say, well, the gospel says you're a sinner, you need Christ. If we don't go straight into that, that does not mean that we have no confidence in our message. It means that we are wise sometimes, because when I have knocked doors, and I've had much experience, even on the mainland, knocking doors with the youth council. When you knock a door, you don't know who's behind it. And very often that door is closed or slammed in your face, sometimes in your foot. But when that door is closed, that person doesn't want to hear the gospel. Sometimes when a door opens, that person does not want to, the first thing that person does not want to hear is maybe the gospel. And sometimes it is good to talk to them and get to know them. And through that conversation, you can bring in the gospel of Christ. But whatever approach we take, we can still have confidence in our message. For our message is the only message that saves. And then finally this evening, I want you to consider the conversion through the message. The conversion through the message. There was a declaration made in the verse 37. And this man said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He believed the message. He believed that the Christ that was presented was the very Son of God. He was that second person in the Trinity. He was the one who was the God-man, the one who came to the cross. He believed the message that he had been told concerning Christ. This evening we know that this man declared that he believed that Christ was the Son of God. But what about you? Do you believe that Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe that Christ is the only Saviour of sinners? It is a serious question. What think ye of Christ? Who do you think he is? Do you believe, like Philip, that he was the Son of God, like the eunuch, that he was the Son of God? Or do you have doubts? Do you believe that he is, yes, he's the Son of God, but you don't believe in him as your Saviour? Your answer to this question is vital, because if you believe that Christ is the Son of God, if you believe he is the only way of salvation, you must look to him. You must declare that you believe he is the Son of God. You must believe that he is the only hope that you have of the forgiveness of sin and of eternal life. If Christ is rejected, then your only way of hope and salvation is rejected. You must declare that he is the Son of God. And then there is a deliverance here as well. This man believed. This man was saved. He believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was saved. And he rejoiced because he was saved. He was delivered from sin. And being delivered from sin, he had peace with God. For he was brought nigh to God. He had the communion that the believer enjoys with God and with the Saviour. He had that assurance of life eternal. He knew that he had peace with God. There was power in the message. This message saved. And the Word of God saves the sinner. The message that is presented, that contains that of the Gospel of Christ, can save. Many today, as we've said, change the message to suit people. They score out words such as sin and hell and judgment out of their vocabulary. They say, we don't want to hear about this, our congregation. They don't want to hear words such as this. The preacher maybe says, if I use such words as this, well, I might not be here next week to preach. But the message of Christ contains such words. The message of Christ warns you about sin and about hell and judgment to come. And it urges you to believe in the Saviour as he is presented in the Word of God. And while men may try and change that, they cannot change what the Word of God says. For God's Word says you must repent. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Christ alone can save. Throughout our churches, and perhaps this is even applicable to Ackley here this evening, there are those who attend from time to time, and there are those who would listen to the message of the gospel that is preached and presented. You walk out those doors and you never trust in Christ. And one day, you will lose your soul. The message ought to warn you of sin. It is something that ought to make you alarmed of your sin. And one day, your end will come. I wasn't expecting my phone alarm to go off. I said it the other night. It was unexpected for me. It was unexpected for you. But your end, your death, your meeting with God could be just as unexpected. You could be in a meeting. It could be your last meeting. You could go home. It could be the last time you go through your door. And the Lord could take your soul. We do not know what is on the morrow. We must believe the message. The message that the Ethiopian believed, we must believe. Do you believe it tonight? And if the Lord comes and takes your soul away suddenly, do you have that assurance that all is well with your soul? Do you have that hope? I trust this evening that you will come and believe, that you will trust in Christ. Then you shall be saved. Come and believe. Come and trust the message and ask Christ to come into your life, to save you and to forgive your sin. Amen. And may the Lord bless you.